Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
On greening your life, so please do listen in. And many thanks to Alana for helping in the studio this day and writing the blog. Go to the blog at deborahlindsay.com. Also check out my blog on KSBW, Ask the Expert, Going Green on the Central Coast. Thank you all for giving me part of your day, and remember, we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to, because tomorrow really matters. Tell a friend, and stay tuned now.
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Al Freeman. Tensions between the United States and Russia remain high after Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice in Tbilisi today stood shoulder to shoulder with Georgia's president, again demanding the pullout of all Russian forces from Georgia. In his weekly radio address released in the past hour or so, President Bush made his feelings clear.
This act is completely unacceptable to the free nations of the world.
The U.S. says it's delivered $3.6 million in aid to Georgia. While the Russians are letting some aid through, their blockade is still in place. And there's yet another sign of tense U.S.-Russian relations as we hear from CBS News reporter Beth Noble.
Russian President Dmitry Medvedev says the U.S. deal to place elements of a missile shield into neighboring Poland clearly demonstrates that the system is aimed against Russia. The Russian military took an even sharper position, saying that if Poland deploys the American missile shield on its soil, it opens itself up to a missile strike by Russia and possibly even a nuclear attack.
Prices at the pump should continue their decline as we're driving less and the dollar is getting stronger. So says analyst Phil Flynn, as the price of crude dipped again today to $113 a barrel, a full $35 less than the peak price reached last month.
A renewed sense of confidence in the U.S. economy, a much stronger dollar, and the result of weakening demand.
A barrel of crude finished the day down about $1.30. He was a music journalist turned record producer, and he did it for three decades, making records with Wilson Pickett, Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin. Jerry Wexler died at his Florida home this morning, and Rolling Stone contributing editor and author Anthony DeCurtis says Wexler had a unique feel for music and performers.
Coming out of jazz, you know, he had a sense of the kind of artistic achievement of, you know, of these musicians, and so he had a tremendous respect for artists, and particularly for black artists.
Jerry Wexler was 91. Matt Whitten and Rick Dyer spend much of their time looking for leprechauns and even the Loch Ness Monster. Well, now the two men say they've stumbled across the corpse of, yes, Bigfoot in the woods of North Georgia. The men say DNA evidence will prove once and for all that the hairy corpse crammed into a Georgia freezer is indeed Bigfoot. Tom Biscardi, CEO of Searching for the Bigfoot, was the only one they called to verify the findings.
Coming out of jazz, you know,
there's not just one Bigfoot, okay? There's a minimum of 3,500 to maybe a maximum of 7,000 of these creatures across the land.
And there's a lot of skepticism, of course, with many believing it's just a hoax. If you're a Netflix subscriber, you should soon be getting your regular fill of DVDs in the mail. The company, after a three-day halt, today began shipping them again. On Wall Street, the Dow was up 44 points. This is CBS News.
Mercedes-Benz is proud to introduce the new 1.99. But the new 1.99 isn't a new car or SUV, it's an APR rate. Available on select certified pre-owned E-Class vehicles at our certified pre-owned sales event. And certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz vehicles feature an extensive 155-point inspection. So you're getting a certified 1.99% APR and a certified 100% Mercedes-Benz. Stop by our CPO sales event today, and remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month for $1,000 financing of 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contracts subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial participating dealers through September 30th, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
If the specter of higher fuel and ticket prices has kept you from planning that trip across the pond, well, now may be the time to start thinking about it.
Jetting off to Europe is suddenly a lot less expensive.
$300, $500, $900 cheaper.
About 2 weeks earlier than normal, airlines are instituting fare cuts to fill up seats left empty when they hiked fares to cover rising fuel costs.
We just have too many planes going to Europe right now with not as many buyers as they would wish.
Tom Parsons at bestfares.com says the dollar's worth more now in Europe, too. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
Patrick Duell once weighed in at more than 1,000 pounds. And the bedroom wall had to be knocked down so he could be hospitalized to get gastric bypass surgery. The Nebraska man actually got down to 370, but now he's up to 540 again. Even with the gain, doctors say he's in generally good health. What does he eat? Well, says Duell, whatever's in the fridge. Al Freeman, CBS News.
Guys, it's time to fit in. Into your Levi's, that is. At the men's store inside JCPenney's, the final days of their extreme denim sale. They have an extreme selection of Levi's, the best in town. And right now, they're all on sale. Levi's 505, 550, 557, 569, and 514 jeans are on sale now for $31.99. Not to mention, 501s are only $34.99. With a selection like this, it almost goes without saying, they have your fit. The men's store makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
Now through Saturday, we're wheeling and dealing at Pep Boys. The guaranteed lowest price on parts and service just got lower. Peak 50-50 Long Life Antifreeze and Chevron Techron Fuel Injector Cleaner, both buy one, get one free. Some limits apply. See circular for coupons. Stop in for a free brake inspection. Also, buy three installed tires, get the fourth one free. Any size, any brand. After mail-in rebate, some restrictions apply. Roll in now through Saturday while we're wheeling and dealing at Pep Boys.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, coming your way from Big Sur on the California coast, all the way up to Vancouver.
Happy days, thinking about good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as one, and I believe it could be. Someday it's going to come. But out on the edge of darkness, there are the beast pain. Oh, beast pain, take this country.
In a moment, we'll check in, not with the peace train, but the peace flotilla. Two boats challenging Israel's blockade of Gaza. And in just a few minutes, Robert Perry is scheduled to join us, the journalist who publishes at consortiumnews.com on his agenda. The battle between U.S., Russia, and Georgia. And don't forget the South Ossetians. They're in the mix there, too. Later this hour, we're going to check in on an annual event at Pebble Beach, the Concourse. It's Concourse d'Elegance, which is a parade of vintage automobiles. And my buddy Charlie Maher is an artist who paints cars, vintage cars. He doesn't, you know, put paint on the car itself. He makes paintings of cars. And he is being honored at the concourse this year, so we'll talk with him. I think he's going to check in from the Laguna Seca race course. Also on the show today, Norman Solomon, media critic and leader of the media reform movement, will be joining us. He is also an Obama delegate to the convention in Denver. We're We're going to talk about his ideas about Obama and progressives. We're going to get expert commentary on that struggle over in Georgia between the U.S. and Russia and various other factions there. Nikolai Sukhov from the Monterey Institute will be joining us next hour. And as usual, we'll talk election integrity and election protection with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And we have a special guest on with Brad today, Stephen Rosenfeld, who writes about election issues at alternet.org, will join us. He's got a new book out called Count My Vote. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through. And as we do at the beginning of the show now, until they arrive in Gaza, we're checking in on a daily basis with Dr. Paula Rudy and the Free Gaza Movement. Their website is freegaza.org. And they have two sailing ships that are bound for Gaza over the course of the next week. And least over here, Paula Rudy, it is a beautiful full moon at night. What's it like on the Mediterranean tonight?
Well, interestingly enough, we also happen to have a full moon here.
It's the same world.
and we made great time coming across the Greek seas with a fine wind from the rear. We got an extra 2 knots and arrived in a way ahead of schedule, although the whole thing is sort of behind schedule. But the seas are excellent, and the people welcomed us again. We went and I had my first shower in about 5 days and had some wonderful food and tried to fix their Russian piano, but as you know, I'm a piano technician, and I brought some of my tools with me to fix some pianos in Gaza. So I tried to work on this thing, but it was hopeless.
Of all the things you just said, the shower after 5 days sounds really good.
Oh, yes, yes. It sound and smells a lot better.
Yeah. So does this mean you have arrived in Cyprus?
No, we're not there yet. We still have some progress to make, but we're making good progress now.
Mm-hmm. So over the weekend, I would expect you're going to arrive in Cyprus, and then you will gear up for the crossing to Gaza.
Yeah, I would expect. It kind of looks like Tuesday will be the day that we'll arrive in Cyprus, but it could be Monday. And, yes, next week we will be in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I might tell you that you can go to our brand new website that has much more of the daily stuff featured there. And there's a very important article written today by Lauren Booth, the sister-in-law of Tony Blair.
Mm-hmm.
And she describes the experiences of herself and several others who there has been a barrage of death threats against members of our group, and I'm going to pass the telephone in just a moment to my colleague Osama Pashur, whose family is in the West Bank, and his father was actually beaten and threatened. So there seems to be something orchestrated to threaten all of us. 84-year-old now. She just had her birthday officially.
Mm-hmm.
Hetty Epstein received a death threat. She's a Holocaust survivor, and
And Paul, tell us in the case of Lauren Booth, where is this threat coming from?
Well, all I know is what she described in the article, and you can find it on the website. But what she said was that somebody, an anonymous person, called her private number at her home in France. Her two daughters were playing hide and seek. And it was her husband who answered the phone, and the person said the boat is going to be blown up, and Lauren is going to be killed.
Oh my!
And this is not she's not the only one. There are others in our group who received the same death threat, and as you know, I've received death threats myself. So they're stepping up the pressure.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that, and I know it just puts more stress and strain on you because you really don't know what you will encounter when you arrive in Gaza and attempt to come ashore.
Well, I think actually maybe the heaviest pressure will be before we get to Gaza, because Israel knows that when we get to Gaza, there is going to be so much media attention on what we're doing that it's going to restrict what they can do. If they can do it earlier, there'll be less attention. So we're taking all proper precautions, and at the same time, we're trying to make sure that the media doesn't forget us in the meantime.
Yes, and I'm glad that you're not, you know, that you're reporting these attempts to intimidate you, but I don't believe you are actually submitting to the intimidation.
Of course not. No, you know, many of us, myself and Osama, who's right here next to me, and another of my colleagues, there are about at least half a dozen of us who've been shot by Israeli soldiers and settlers. And typically, what that has done to us in the past is it's increased our recruitment efforts.
Mm-hmm.
We've been lucky. On some occasions, when Rachel Corrie was killed in 2003 in the International Solidarity Movement, oddly enough, the candidates for to the volunteers increased. They quadrupled.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, go ahead and put Osama on the line, and thank you very much. We'll talk with you again on Monday.
Okay, thanks, Peter. Here's Osama.
That's Dr. Paul LaRudy, and I want you to visit the website freegaza.org. As LaRudy just told us, they have beefed up right there on the homepage the real-time posts from the ships in the Mediterranean as they move into position to cross next week from Cyprus to the Gaza Strip. Osama Pashua, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter.
It's nice to talk with you, and I welcome you to our program, and I commend you for making this voyage. Paul just told us about some of the threats that have been made, and I understand that your father, who lives in the West Bank, received a threat about your participation in this journey.
Well, Peter, this is kind of a really normal exercise that we have to unfortunately go through every time we try to do something good for humanity or trying to raise our voice against the ugliness of the regime. The saddest thing is that families who are the most vulnerable and they are most exposed to the conflict, and they are, the direct victim of a conflict, are being blackmailed and abused and terrorized. And that's what I feel, sorry for. Not for myself, but for my family and for, the whole thinking behind this.
Mm-hmm. And Osama, tell our listeners what your personal mission here is and why you see it as so important to lift the blockade and, in fact, lift the entire siege of Gaza and the West Bank that has been maintained by Israel for many years.
Well, Peter, I'm a Palestinian. I grew up all my life in Palestine. I've been living in London for 4 years, and that was my first, and the first time I left Palestine to be somewhere else. Now, I know exactly the feeling of being lonely and forgotten, because I lived it for, all my life until 4 years ago. Finding myself suddenly in the total opposite to my people is a great responsibility. And simply, I'm making this, and I'm making this my priority this summer, not just to lift the blockade, oddly enough. We know we can't lift the blockade. We can't challenge the blockade. We will, but we will not challenge to, just to lift the blockade. But what we can definitely get through walls and siege and sanctions and occupation is a strong solidarity bridge that we are determined to build between us, the Palestinians, and the West. So basically, this mission that I'm trying to encourage, I think it's for the benefit of the international community, not just the Palestinian people. We are representing the international community with a solidarity mission, and I think we deserve to be noticed that way also, and not just as a voyage in the Mediterranean Sea trying to challenge the Israeli siege, because we don't recognize the siege.
And Osama, I frankly am opposed to all occupations, including the one that the United States is engaged in Iraq. And since you've been at sea, you may not know this, but over in Georgia, where a battle has been underway for a week now between Russian and Georgian forces, we have been lecturing the Russians on how they cannot invade a sovereign nation and occupy it. And while I won't ask you to weigh in on the specifics of that issue, we in the United States have lost any moral authority in criticizing those who might occupy lands that aren't their own.
Well, this is history repeating itself again and again and again. And this is a new subject within an old subject. I think the United States are... they're in favor of securing their own territory and not admitting, their own faults. Mm-hmm. And the government are, repeatedly supporting regimes for political, reasons and for political interest only. I don't think the war in Georgia, for example, made any difference to the American policies rather than, just basically putting the fuel and challenging Russia. So another victim country like Georgia is being used to practice the American domination or the Russian domination, and unfortunately that's always the case.
Yeah.
Vulnerable people falling victim for the big powers to challenge themselves on other people's land.
Mm-hmm. Osama, I'm out of time right now, but I want to thank you for talking with us today, and I wish you the best on the journey that you've undertaken.
Thanks very much for taking care of us.
All right, Osama Pashua, and he is part of the contingent. You can read all about it on the website freegaza.org. Take a break and return here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero & Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Rolls on. Tracking a little something from the Dave Matthews Band right now. This one's called Say Goodbye. And I'm one of those people who wants to say goodbye to Evan Bayh as a possible vice presidential companion for Barack Obama.
So here we are tonight, you and me together. The storm outside and the fire's bright. Oh, and in your eyes I see what's on my mind. You got me wild, run around inside. Oh, and the desire I see is creeping up heavy all inside here. And we have to feel the same ways I do now. It's late this evening, now I swore at night.
On the program yesterday, we talked with Max Bernstein, who started the movement to stop Evan Bayh just 3 days ago. And yesterday there were about 2,200 people who had signed on to the Facebook page. It's now up to 3,296, so just under 3,300. And I want to open up the phone lines right now. We had expected to talk to Robert Perry, the journalist, right now. He is not available. Could be taking the day off. I don't know. But in his absence, I welcome your phone calls here at 888-5-PETER-B. We've got room right now and in the next segment. And then toward the end of the hour, we're going to talk with artist Charlie Maher. But I wanted to just see if over the last 24 hours, more people have caught on to the potential impact of an Evan Bayh vice presidency. Now, I like to be clear that I don't think that this would derail my support for Obama. But I would like to see him reach out beyond this centrist DLC conservative candidate. And David Sirota, who's a great progressive writer and commentator, had a column that appeared in Friday's San Francisco Chronicle. And he pointed out that Evan Bayh has been in the Senate, I believe he's in his second term now, and he has no legislative accomplishments. He has really done nothing. He is a backbencher. He is a pro-Iraq war guy who joined forces with John McCain and Joe Lieberman to recruit other senators to sign on to George Bush's war. And so I think it would be a big mistake for Obama to name Evan Bayh as his VP. And as we go to the convention, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out, whether it's Bayh or another pick who doesn't please progressives. Because progressives are already pretty steaming mad, and Obama's got the whole Hillary Clinton problem to face,
with those who have not let go of her candidacy. He has agreed to permit her name to be entered into nomination at a roll call vote, and I support that. I think that is at least the illusion of democracy, if not the real thing. And so I think that's a good move. But I think it'll also be interesting to see what kind of a signal Obama sends with his vice presidential pick. So my lines are open for you for the next 20 minutes or so. If you'd like to weigh in on this issue, I'd love to hear from you. You know my number. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And speaking of the convention in Denver, we will be there every day with live coverage on this program. More people have stepped up to help. We'll name names coming up shortly, but you can help too. Go to my website. There's a link at the very top of the homepage that says you can help. And if you can, I am much obliged. I really appreciate it. So join me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, and we'll take your calls on the other side of the break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored by Walgreens, the pharmacy America has trusted since 1901. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It's the silver lining of a sluggish economy. Fatal highway crashes continue to drop.
The lowest fatality rate in recorded history.
More after this from Charlie.
Thank you, Dave. Why fill your prescriptions at different pharmacies when you could get the convenience and the peace of mind that comes with filling them all at Walgreens? Walgreens has thousands of pharmacies nationwide, all connected, so that you can pick up a refill at any of them. Plus, they screen for interactions with prescriptions you've filled at any Walgreens, as well as anything else you tell them about. To take advantage of great services like these, transfer your prescriptions to Walgreens. Just show them your prescription bottles, and they'll take care of the rest.
Reach into your pockets, my friends. Feel deep. What is that? That's right. Pennies. Quiet, unassuming pennies, stoically performing their economic duty and expecting nothing but scorn in return. Scorn and vilification! The poor penny. It's enough to bring a tear to Mr. Lincoln's eye.
Office Max loves pennies. Right now, get great back-to-school deals like rulers and folders for 1 cent each. Go back to school for pennies at Office Max. Restrictions apply. See store for details while supplies last.
Driving is still pretty dangerous, but the good news in the latest accident statistics is that seatbelts, airbags, and high gas prices are working. 41,059 people were killed in highway crashes in 2007, but that's the lowest number since 1994. Jim Ports is with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Cars are getting safer. There's a lot of advanced safety features such as airbags, air curtains, electronic stability control, improved side impact.
And, of course, click it or ticket.
Our seatbelt use has gone up. We have a nationwide average of 82%.
But Peter Kissinger isn't celebrating. He's the head of the AAA's Foundation for Traffic Safety, and he can't believe that this nation accepts 41,000 highway deaths a year.
Even though we're looking at record low numbers, we're still looking at a reality which is absolutely unacceptable.
Earlier this year, the AAA released a traffic safety culture survey which found that American motorists blame others for unsafe driving, even though they do the very same things themselves, including driving drunk, talking on cell phones, running red lights, and, of course, speeding.
One death ought to be unacceptable on our nation's highways, but one death every 15 minutes or so, which is what these statistics add up to, should be an absolute outrage.
It isn't just the deaths, there's the injuries. They fell, too, for the eighth straight year, but that still means that in 2007, 2,490,000 people were injured in traffic accidents. Kissinger puts most of the blame on American drivers themselves, where the culture is to drink a beer, run the light, break the speed limit, and then pick up the phone and complain that everybody on the road's a jerk. The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to FrittiDiMarGrill.com or call 384-8525.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got lines open for you, a mini free speed zone right now. 888-5 Peter B. Those are the crows in whose county? Mr. Jones, it's called. I'm Peter B. Collins, 34 minutes into the hour. And as we mentioned, Robert Perry had been scheduled to join us at this time, unable to be here, and that means it's your opportunity to chime in. And are you ready to sign on to this Facebook page, 100,000 strong against Evan Bayh for VP? Now, if you feel as strongly about this as I do, please log on, because our buddy, Max Bernstein, admitted yesterday that he has a twinge of regret, that after a rock and roll band gig in Austin, Texas on Tuesday night this week, he and his friends got the word that Obama is considering Evan Bayh, the senator from Indiana, as his vice presidential running mate, and that the odds had risen to 50-50, according to some bloggers. And so Max swung into action, launched this Facebook page. Now just go to Facebook.com. And in the search window, enter 100,000 and Evan Bayh. And Bayh is spelled B-A-Y-H, if you're not familiar with his name. And if you know how to navigate Facebook, fine. If you don't, I can't help you. I'm not a regular Facebook user, and Max was on the air with us yesterday when I logged in here and helped me click on the right button there. But check it out, and basically, if you agree to add your name to this list, then the count will go up. And as I let me refresh here and see if just in the last few minutes more people have logged on here. It was 3,296 10 minutes ago, and it's now 3,298. It's moving a little faster than watching a car rust, but we'd like to see it up there at that 100,000, and I'd like to get that clear message to Barack Obama, and I hope he will be receptive to it. 888-5, Peter B., if you have a comment, let me know what you think about Evan Bayh, and if you have a preference of someone else for vice president, this is a good time to talk about that. 888-573-8372. Nick Tanham is on the phones today, so give him a call, and he'll put you right through on the switchboard here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Well, at lunchtime today, I dashed down to my post office box, and I want to thank a number of people right here on the air right now while I have a moment. Andy in Wayne, New Jersey. He's a regular listener who calls in from time to time. Sent us a check to help cover our costs for the convention coverage from Denver coming up just a week from Monday. We will be live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we're going to bring you the same kind of coverage that you get on our program all the time. And in Radio Row, we don't know exactly who we will get. But my producer, Katrina Rill, has volunteered to serve in the media office there at the Democratic National Convention. And I've given her a list of a few people I really want to talk to.
One of them is Jay Rockefeller. He's the senator who chairs the Intelligence Committee who led the charge to sell out our Fourth Amendment rights with these awful FISA amendments that were passed just about a month ago. I also want to talk to Dianne Feinstein. She rarely grants radio interviews. I mean, it's been a long time. We request to talk to her from time to time. But I'd like to ask Senator Feinstein if she has any regrets about joining Chuck Schumer to be the two pivotal votes that led to the confirmation of Michael Mukasey as the Attorney General. Now, he's no Alberto Gonzalez. He's smarter. And he's almost as loyal to Bush as Gonzalez was. And time after time, Mukasey has insulted us and the Constitution in his short-term management of the Justice Department. And there are other people like that that I would like to talk with. One of the things I'm going to do is take with me a list of the votes on FISA in both the House and the Senate. And we will name names. And if we can find the individuals who voted the wrong way, instead of happy talk about, hey, how do you feel about Obama? We're going to ask the tough questions about why they participated in reducing our constitutional rights in this country. Here's a note and a check from Helen Ferentz of Eureka. Helen, thank you very much. You do a wonderful job keeping Eurekans and others on the West Coast informed. I'm no good at phone calls, but I listen often and hope all goes well in Denver for the Dems and yourself. Signed, Helen. Thank you, Helen. I really, really appreciate it. And again, if you don't have internet access and you would like to help us with our coverage of the convention from Denver, you can just mail me a check or we'll take cash. It all goes in the same account. And that mailing address is Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. And no donation is too small. Here's Nancy from Woodland. Hi, Peter. Enclosed is a small donation toward your trip to the convention. Sorry there aren't more zeros on it, but I guess it'll pay for your carry-on. And then, she gave me a little flag that I can paste on my lapel. And I can be just like Barack. Nobody can challenge my patriotism if I'm wearing a flag lapel pin, right? Okay, and one more from Olympia, Washington, one of our weekend listeners on Seattle's Progressive Talk, KPTK. Oh, she listens on KPOJ out of Portland, too. That signal carries. It's Linda Wilson from Olympia, Washington, and a nice little contribution from Linda. So I thank you all for that, and if you're able to help, do so. If you can't, I'm a guilt-free guy. And I don't want anybody to feel stressed or pressured about it, but your help will assist me in paying for the cost of the coverage of going to Denver and the radio costs and all that kind of stuff. And frankly, I can't do it without your help because these economic times have squeezed me as much as anybody else who has to pay $4 or more for a gallon of gas. And so I do really appreciate those who have pitched in to help. Now, one more time, peterbcollins.com. You can help. The information is there. Margie's calling from Oregon this afternoon. Hello, Margie. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B.
How are you?
Is it too late to mail a check to you?
No, because with the beauty of credit cards, I've already paid for most of the expenses, so you're going to help me pay the bill at the end of the month.
Oh, okay.
So, and I want to make it clear to people, we are going. It's not contingent on how much money people can help out with, but your help is greatly appreciated, and I wouldn't ask if we didn't need it.
Well, your check will be in the mail at 4:30 today.
Oh, Margie, you're beautiful. Thank you.
I get so upset when people don't take the choice of vice president seriously enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't take many brain cells to realize that we can wind up with that choice as president.
That's right.
And, look what we get, even with Cheney in there, his influence has been horrible. And I wouldn't want one of our vice presidents in the Dem side to be a horrible influence, which it sounds like Bi could be.
Well, Margie, I hear you. And, you know, this is one of the things that's really hard to predict or project.
and that is, would a President Obama give as much authority to his vice president as Bush did to Cheney?
Yeah.
And in most respects, I kind of hope not. Because even if it's a really well-qualified progressive, for example, David Sirota had a great suggestion in this column I referenced a little while ago that was published today and maybe other papers around the country over the last few days. But he said, hey, if you want a vice president who can help you deliver a critical state, take a look at Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. Now, he's a real progressive. He's a great guy. And I would love to see that tip from Obama to the progressives who feel so injured by his moves over the summer to embrace right-wing positions on the death penalty, on gun laws, and most importantly, on FISA.
Huh. Well, I'm not familiar with him, but I'm glad to hear that. Well, way back, say, 2-3 years ago, my very favorite person in government has been Russ Feingold.
Mm.
And I would have loved to have had him for president, or I'd love to have him for vice president. To me, he's the only adult in the whole group.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, he is remarkable because that clubbishness in the Senate does tend to cause people to soften their voices. I mean, I look at the difference between Congresswoman Barbara Boxer and Senator Barbara Boxer. As a member of Congress, you remember in 1992, she led a group of women across the Capitol to the steps there and basically said, we want in. And she was feisty, much more of a firebrand, sometimes a little too shrill. And as a senator, she has matured politically, but she's also kind of softened her voice. And on critical issues like the war and FISA, there are days when I wish for the old Barbara Boxer, who was willing to break some legs or some eggs or something to make an omelet.
Well, regarding Bi, wouldn't Jim Webb even be better than him?
In some ways, you know, Jim Webb is a mixed bag. He's a former Republican.
Oh.
And while I do support him on his GI Bill this year, I think that was a signature piece of legislation. And he has been a strong voice to get us out of Iraq. On other issues, he's much more conservative. And as a matter of fact, he has flatly said he doesn't want to be vice president.
Oh, okay. So that's out.
Yeah. But the governor of Virginia, Tim Kaine, is still considered to be on the top of the list. And he's a moderate guy. He's somebody I could accept on the ticket. And one of the rare progressive positions attributed to Tim Kaine is he's against the death penalty. And it's rare that you have a Democrat running for very high office these days who is willing to stand in opposition to capital punishment.
Yeah. Do you remember someone named Mark Warner?
Yeah, he's the former governor of Virginia. He will be, I think, the keynote speaker at the Democratic Convention on Monday night.
Hmm. Well, I was very impressed with him.
Mm-hmm. He's not a bad guy. I saw him up close and personal one time, and I hope this isn't too catty a remark, but I think he's got Mr. Ed's teeth.
Oh, dear.
Margie, thanks for your call today.
You're welcome.
Great to hear from you, and thanks for your support. I really appreciate it. Billy Capitola, welcome.
It was too catty a remark.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I have these powers of observation, and sometimes I just can't.
You know, we love the inside stuff, Peter, so thank you. So you're up in the northeast, up in the northwest there, up in Oregon now. So what can you tell us about Ron Wyden, who I think would be a great choice for vice president?
Mm-hmm. He's a good progressive. He's taken a lot of good positions over the years. I have a positive impression of him. You know, one of the things in general is that, you know, we're going to break a record of sorts. John F. Kennedy was the last person elected directly from the United States Senate to the presidency. And so we know that a senator will be president next year. But the idea of putting two senators on the same ticket, I think we'll get some resistance from the political consultant class.
And well, guess what they think.
Well, Obama's talking to them.
Yeah.
They're making the calculations about who can carry a state and who can actually, you know, add electoral college weight to the ticket.
Yeah, and I assume Obama wins Oregon either way.
Looks like it. It was a toss-up state. It's now predicted to lean Obama, and I think that's a good sign.
Well, Ron Wyden is a guy who's always impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Billy. Well, thank you very much. We
going to take a break and return and talk about an auto show on the Monterey Peninsula. It's at Pebble Beach this weekend, the Concours d'Elegance. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ah!
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
This is an important message from Brian McGuff, Iraq War veteran and Purple Heart recipient.
More and more troops and veterans in Iraq believe George Bush's military policy has been a disaster. I am one of them. Rush Limbaugh called vets like me phony soldiers for telling the truth about Iraq.
The Rush Limbaugh Show, September 26th.
Welcome to the EIB Network. Hello.
Hi, Rush. Thanks for taking my call. They never talk to real soldiers. They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and stop the media.
The phony soldiers.
Rush, the shrapnel I took to my head was real. My traumatic brain injury was real. My belief that we are on the wrong course in Iraq is real. And so you have the guts to call me a phony soldier in my face. Stop telling lies about my service.
Tell Rush Limbaugh to stop insulting America's troops and veterans. Call 800-282-2882. Paid for by Vote Vets Action Fund.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and the Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up.
The listeners at our flagship radio station, KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Carmel by the Sea. We've seen a lot of vintage automobiles cruising the roads and the byways and highways over the last few days.
Pulled out of San Pedro late one night, the moon and the stars were shining bright. We was driving up Grapevine Hill, passing cars like they was standing still.
And the reason is it's the annual Concours d'Elegance. And Concours is spelled C-O-N-C-O-U-R-S. It's one of those French terms, you know, it's so un-American. But the Concours is quite an event. I've been hearing about it for years. And this weekend I'm actually going to get to witness it. And I'm looking forward to dropping in there in Pebble Beach and checking out some of these fine vintage automobiles. And my friend from Detroit, Charlie Maher, joins us right now. He paints cars. And we like to hasten to add, he doesn't paint the fenders or the hood or the roof. He makes paintings of automobiles. Do we have that right, Charlie?
Yes, you do, Peter. It's great to be talking to you again.
Well, it's good to have you on the show, and you just escaped from Laguna Seca, is that right?
That's right. I just got out all the noise and the heat up there, but it was fantastic. They've got more vintage automobiles racing there. I don't know the number, but it's call it close to 400, and just some significant automobiles historically wise, and a lot of the old drivers from the past are out there running these things. So it's a lot of fun for somebody like me.
Now, Charlie, is this a parade around the track, or do they actually race these cars and, you know, cut each other off and the things that regular race car drivers do?
No, this is it's not a parade, and they do race seriously. It's not quite as seriously as pro racing, and but they've got a full course of course workers, safety equipment and stuff, so there is an element of danger. I mean, if you don't drive well, you can cause an accident and cause some harm because the cars do go very, very fast.
Mm-hmm. And what's the breakdown rate? I mean, some of these cars are 40, 50, 60 years old.
Yeah, they've got they must have about 15 or 20 different categories. So they break them down into, vintage. Some are determined by horsepower and the speed that the cars can go. They don't put a lot of differentiation between the abilities of the cars in the same groups.
Mm-hmm.
So one group might be old Formula One cars, which can go pretty fast.
Yeah.
Another category might be things that would include some of the old Bugattis and stuff from the teens that they're old cars. They never did go that fast, but for their day they were pretty significant.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking at the website. If you want to visit it, it's pebblebeachconcours.net. There's no E on Concours because it's a French word, C-O-N-C-O-U-R-S, Pebble Beach Concours, and you can get information on the event that's going on this weekend. And it's a lot of fun on this site. I just flipped up a photo here of a 1952 Jaguar XK120, a fixed-head coupe, and it was awarded Best of Show. Any Jags out there on the track today, Charlie?
Yeah, there's a number of them, and there were a couple of 120s out there, 140s and 150s as well. Drophead's an interesting term. That means that the roof goes down. It's another way of saying convertible or cabriolet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they've got a lot of different terms that mean the same thing. But there's a number of Jaguars out there. I saw some C-types and D-types, which would have been race cars from the mid-50s through the early 60s, cars that won Le Mans.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very special. And then they had some more recent cars from the 70s, and some of those were Group C cars, some serious race cars.
Yeah. Charlie Maher's with us. He is in town for the concourse at Pebble Beach this weekend. And, Charlie, I understand that you're being honored this year for your automotive fine art. Tell us about that.
Well, I got a really nice honor, Peter. I was asked to do the poster for the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance this year. And so every year they select one artist to create the artwork for their poster. It's the event poster, and also it goes on the cover of the program. So this was a very big deal for me. I'm humbled and flattered that they asked me to do it, and it was a lot of fun to be involved in the project.
Now, I'm looking at the website, but I don't see the art that you did. What did you paint? What car and what style did you use?
Well, it's easier to talk about the car, I guess, and what it is an Oldsmobile F88 from the 1954 Motorama show that General Motors used to run in the mid-50s. So it's a styling exercise. It was a concept car, and that's the featured car. That's going to be at the event on Sunday, and it looks pretty similar if people can remember what the 1953 Corvette looked like. It's not the same car. It's got variations, but it's a two-seater. It's built on the same platform. It's that size, and it was also built out of fiberglass. So it's a significant car. It was spirited out of GM by Harley Earl. They built three or four of them, if I understand correctly. And I don't know if any but this one car continues to exist. And it sat in pieces and in boxes for a number of years, and then it was finally reassembled and refurbished. And right now it looks like It looks like $3 million.
Well, and I'll let people take a look at your website to see some of the fine art that you've produced based on great automobiles. And you can either Google Charles Maher, M-A-H-E-R, and automotive fine art, or I'll take a stab at this website, dr-design.com/Maher Auto Art. That's dr-design.com/Maher Auto Art, and that's all one word. And Charlie, just about 30 seconds here, but if somebody has a car that they're really in love with and they'd love to commission a painting of it, do you take assignments like that?
Yes, I do. I take private commissions. I also do some corporate commissions and do business with publications. But, yeah, if anybody's interested in something like that, I would be happy to talk to them.
All right, Charlie, great to talk with you, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Peter, I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
You bet. That's the Concorde Elegance underway Pebble Beach this weekend on the Central California coast. Stay tuned. Norman Solomon will join me next. We'll talk about progressives and Obama on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A standoff over Russia's invasion of Georgia.
This act is completely unacceptable to the free nations of the world.
The price of oil falls again.
Because the dollar's rebounding, we've seen a big drop-off in demand for oil and gas.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush is keeping the heat on Moscow. In a statement before he left for Texas this morning, Mr. Bush accused the Russians of bullying and intimidation. Later, the White House released his Saturday radio address early. He vows to stand by the Georgian people.
In the days ahead, we will continue using U.S. aircraft and other assets as needed to deliver more humanitarian and medical supplies.
In Tbilisi, the Georgian capital, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice met with Georgian President Mikhail Saakashvili, who reluctantly accepted a ceasefire proposal.
This is a ceasefire agreement. This is not a final settlement. We are under Russian invasion and Russian occupation right now.
Now, with the signature of the Georgian president on this ceasefire accord, all Russian troops and any irregular and paramilitary forces that entered with them must leave immediately.
But Russian forces were still on the move in Georgia. One convoy moved to within 30 miles of Tbilisi, even though Russia has given assurances it will implement the ceasefire. Russia is complaining about yesterday's deal, allowing the United States to place elements of an anti-missile system in Poland. Despite U.S. denials, the Russians say the missile shield is directed at them. The Georgian city of Gori remains under siege. CBS News reporter Phil Itner in Tbilisi says the humanitarian situation seems bleak.
We're told by United Nations officials here on the ground that it's been very difficult to get food into Gori, and that's a major issue. When I met earlier in the day with Georgian refugees, they said they had not received any international aid as yet, and that everything they were receiving was from their fellow Georgians.
Now this.
Hi, we're Shadazy.
Now, being on tour is great, but after 23 days, we can't wait to get home
and to our own Sleep Number beds. The tougher your days, the more you deserve a Sleep Number night. It's the only bed that lets you adjust your Sleep Number setting at the touch of a button. A higher Sleep Number setting for more firmness, a lower number for softer support. And since every day is different, you can always find your perfect sleep number anytime, because the most comfortable sleep is the one you control yourself. Experience the difference a Sleep Number bed makes every night. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com to find any one of our 450 stores. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Enjoy cool summer savings on all Sleep Number beds. Twin mattresses start at only $449. Hurry in. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com today for a store near you.
Crude oil dropped below $114 a barrel today. Phil Flynn at Aileron Trading says it's because the dollar is up and demand is down.
The consumer should pat themselves on the back because they've driven less and they've conserved more. Prices are starting to come down.
The stock market likes this trend. The Dow rose 43 points to finish the week at 11,659. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
Crude oil continues to decline, and so do other commodities like gold and wheat. And this is welcome relief for the stock market and for consumers, since this should translate into lower prices at both the gas pump and the supermarket.
The dollar is stronger against the euro and the British pound.
Today, we finally see the dollar reversing course, which is basically renewed faith in the U.S. relative to the rest of the world or relative to Europe.
Diane Swank is chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Currency traders believe the U.S. economy will rebound first. In a few hours, Michael Phelps looks to equal Mark Spitz's record of 7 gold medals in 1 Olympic Games. This race could be a real challenge, CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports.
In virtually all his races here in Beijing, Michael Phelps has made it look easy. This race, though, could be different. The 100-meter butterfly. Even though Phelps is the favorite, he faces a very strong challenge from a Serbian swimmer, Milorad Čavić. Čavić has the best time in the event in the world this year. Also in the final will be fellow American swimmer Ian Crocker. Crocker holds the world record. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Olympic Aquatic Center in Beijing.
Here comes Fay. The season's latest tropical storm just got organized this afternoon. It poses an immediate threat to Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Early next week, National Hurricane Center Director Bill Reed expects it to be in the Gulf of Mexico.
We're forecasting it to be a 60-knot or 70-mile-an-hour tropical storm on the southwest coast of Florida.
That would be just short of hurricane strength. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Mercedes-Benz is proud to introduce the new 1.99. But the new 1.99 isn't a new car or SUV, it's an APR rate. Available on select certified pre-owned E-Class vehicles at our certified pre-owned sales event. And certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz vehicles feature an extensive 155-point inspection. So you're getting a certified 1.99% APR and a certified 100% Mercedes-Benz. Stop by our CPO sales event today, and remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month for $1,000 finance on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contracts subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial at participating dealers through September 30th, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Right on time. 6 minutes after the hour. Great to have you listening. You can call in and talk with us at 888-5-PETER-B. Norman Solomon joins me, and he just arrived after testifying drive through rush hour traffic. Hello, Norman.
Hi, Peter.
Catch your breath.
It's here.
Norman is the author of War Made Easy, which was made into a documentary film and is still available. You can check the website, warmadeeasythefilm.com. com or org?
It's warmandeasymovie.org, yeah.
Okay, .org. And he's also most recently the author of a memoir called Made Love, Got War. And he is an Obama delegate to the Democratic National Convention in Denver. And I'm really glad you're here, Norman.
Me too. And do we know who the VP is going to be yet for that slot?
I put in for an email, and I have not been notified so far. Have you heard any further speculation? We've been on the board with ABB, anybody but by.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, there's a lot of different initials we could come up with. I'm afraid that the long list is actually rather troubling. But I think if you're on the email texting list, you're going to be one of the first couple million to know.
Yeah. And do you have any inkling when that's going to break? I'm guessing it's next Tuesday. That's just my personal guess.
Well, I'm almost nostalgic for how there was some reason to actually watch the convention coverage, because then you'd find out who was going to be put on the ticket, and now it seems like there's a lot of wiggle room for when.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also by naming the person in advance, the presidential presumptive nominee forces the hands of the delegates, really, because, and it's always worked out as a backroom deal anyway, hasn't it, Norman?
Yeah, the rationale, of course, is that the president should get to choose who the running mate's going to be. But there have been those interesting moments. For instance, in 1968, when there was the horrific Democratic National Convention in Chicago, there was a protest nomination for the VP, and you have to go back through the cobwebs of my mind. Was that not Edmund Muskie who was put on the ticket with Humphrey? Something like
my
that.
My cobwebs are permanent on that one. I don't recall.
And
that convention, you know, it was in the streets. That's all I remember.
Well, Muskie was not exactly an anti-war person to put on the ticket with Hubert Humphrey, who had really, I'm afraid, sold his soul at that point to the war machinery.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a protest effort, and from the floor, a nomination of Julian Bond.
Oh, I remember.
Instead
him,
of Muskie, and it was that great, both funny, poignant, and painful moment when Julian Bond had to acknowledge that he needed to decline the effort to nominate him for the vice presidential slot because constitutionally he wasn't old enough. He hadn't reached 35 years old.
Huh. Interesting. Well, Norman, hey, Nick, can you bring some headphones over, please? Because I want Norman to hear a little ditty here. Because back in 1994, a wacky group called the Four Men, fronted by our friend Roy Zimmerman, put together a song that you're about to hear, and it's called Do the Clinton. And except for the finger-wagging part, I think it kind of applies to Obama right now. Let's listen.
Now that he's been in for however long it's been, grin a good old grin, tuck in your second chin, and everybody do the Clinton.
Well, Obama's only got one chin so far.
Over to the middle,
over to the middle,
straighten up and step light,
up and step light,
lean it to the left a little,
to the left a little,
now lean a lot to the right,
lot to the right.
So do the Clinton, you lean a left a little, and then you lean a lot to the right. And many people feel that Obama's been leaning too far right this summer, and we hope to see his keel even out just a little bit between now and convention time.
One of the painful ironies, and I'm afraid there are more than a few this campaign year, is that Barack Obama more and more seems to resemble the Clinton M.O., complete with triangulation. And some of that comes with the territory, because I think, you know, when you're looking at a general election, your base is not going to carry you all the way, and that's just the way presidential politics has gone. But a lot of people, I think, have had a real valid critique that he's dived way more quickly, way more far to the center and beyond than necessary. And, of course, the FISA vote that was so detrimental to the Fourth Amendment in the Senate a few weeks ago, I think that is quintessentially what's wrong, because there's some principles that are supposed to be not okay to violate. And one of them is, I think, the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, in Denver, we'll be there at Radio Row. I want to invite you and other delegates to come by. And we don't know who's going to be assigned to us. Radio Row is kind of like speed dating. But I've put in some active requests for Jay Rockefeller, Charles Schumer, and Dianne Feinstein, three senators who I would like to ask point blank, when am I going to get my frickin' Fourth Amendment rights back? And why on earth did you give them away?
Well, I think that Dianne Feinstein, who, by the way, is the chair of the entire California delegation to the 2008 Democratic National Convention, may find she has some other engagements that regretfully do not allow her to take you up on your kind invitation, Peter B. Collins.
She hasn't submitted to a radio interview with me in many years.
Well, she's waiting for somebody who will provide, if not beach ball questions, at least softball questions. I don't think you qualify.
Well, talk a little bit about your feelings about this, because you're an idealist and a pragmatist, and that's an interesting combination. And I admire that, because I think we need to burnish our ideals at the same time that we are practical. And I think you and I agree that John McCain would be a total disaster, that we cannot continue Republican rule, signing statements, torture, unending wars, maybe a new war, and just the whole mindset that McCain represents. And so where do we go as progressives when we see a candidate who did appeal directly to us through the primaries move to the right? And some of it, on non-essential issues, I can sit still for. But to me, that FISA vote is really critical. And I'd like to hear Barack Obama address that and say, well, it's not perfect, and therefore, if I'm elected president, I will lead a charge to reevaluate that and give back as much of our constitutional rights as humanly possible.
Well, the context of this discussion, I believe, is that we're at a historical moment where either John McCain or Barack Obama will be the next president of the United States. And I'm absolutely convinced that we need to do everything we can to make sure that it is Obama who's sworn in next January 20th and not McCain. I think we know what we're going to get from McCain, essentially 4 more years of what we've had the last 4 years. In terms of Obama, we have the real possibility to move this country in a genuinely progressive direction, because as the base mobilizes, we would in that case have somebody in the Oval Office who is willing to consider various options. Whereas I think McCain, as with Bush, is simply on automatic pilot, and that is a trip to disaster, as we've seen in Iraq, as we've seen with the foreclosures, with the surveillance domestically and environmentally, the disasters in process, largely driven by federal policy. So I think it's kind of a bifocal vision that we need to have. Near term, it's to get Obama elected, but also to look where we're going. And where we're going has to be to build the progressive movement that will change the direction of the country.
And so how do we get the people who are getting on board the Democratic train right now to stay engaged after the election? We've seen this time and time again, that Republicans play the game for keeps, and they play every day, whether, it's near election day or not. And Democrats will make a push, and after the election, they sit back and say, okay, govern me.
Yeah, we got to change the political culture. And when we're talking on this program on November 5th this year, hopefully we'll be part of a new phase, which is renewal of vibrancy at the base, involved in active participation in not only talking about issues, but shaping policy. And that runs counter to, really cuts against the grain of the mass media. I mean, really, the only message from mass media that's consistent is that you should go out and buy things and maybe vote once in a while. And I think we need to flip that over and say, democratic participation is not a once-in-a-while spectator sport. It should be 24/7. And that's enlivening. A lot of times people will say, well, gee, I could go to all these meetings and nothing could come of it, and I would have wasted all my time. I could have been with my family or whatever. And certainly one can understand those concerns and reservations, but I see people down at the convenience store scratching their lotto tickets on the very tiny chance that they will hit the jackpot. And our chances of hitting the jackpot, so to speak, for social justice, for environmental protection, for an end to war, our chances are much better. So I think we ought to take the risk, take the flyer, as the folks used to say, and get active and stay active. It's really quite enlivening, and that's really our best hope.
Off the air, you and I have talked about the people who just can't let go of Hillary Clinton's candidacy, the stalwarts. And I refer to the most extreme who threaten to vote for John McCain as give me Hillary or give me death. But Obama is recognizing the power of the some 18 million who voted for Hillary and the delegates who are committed to her. And so her name will be entered into nomination, and it appears there will be a roll call vote. Do you support that, and do you think it's real democracy, or is Obama only doing this because he's counted all the votes, including the superdelegates, and he's very sure that she can't pull off an upset?
Well, to me at this point, it's largely theatrics and orchestration. I think that Obama does clearly have a lock on the nomination. That's what matters. And the rest of this is sort of posturing and, unfortunately, I believe positioning for, dare I say it, 2012, because Maureen Dowd, I'm sorry to say, had it correct in the newspaper just yesterday, a day or two ago, where this is not about personality. It's just to say that there are forces arrayed against Obama within the Democratic Party that, shall we say, appear to be less than totally committed to his victory. Mm-hmm. And that should, I think, signal to us that, as always, the most important social change is not going to be left to the elites and the power brokers. It's got to be up to us. Do we want McCain or do we want Obama? And if we want Obama, and I certainly do, that means we got to work really hard between now and Election Day.
Norman Solomon with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you'd like to join our conversation. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And my buddy Carl, the veteran in Humboldt County, dropped an email. They're about 3 months till the election. Well, you know how old this email is. An election that will decide the next president of the United States. The person elected will be the president of all Americans, not just the Democrats or the Republicans. Let's show our solidarity as Americans. Let's all get together and show each other our support for the candidate of our choice. If you support Obama, please drive with your headlights on during the day. If you support McCain, please drive with your headlights off at night. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We need to reduce that to a bumper sticker. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Buy your tickets online and save big.
MontereyCountyFair.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we're getting you started with a big problem on the Pacheco Pass. This is eastbound 152 near the reservoir. Big rig caught fire several hours ago and sparked a brush fire. All of the eastbound lanes are closed up there, and traffic squeezing by in the center divide. CHP saying those lanes may not reopen until 6 o'clock. Huge delays. Avoid eastbound 152 this evening if you can. For San Ardo, an injury crash. Cattleman Road at 101 vehicle overturned and landed in a field. We have emergency crews on the way. Salinas, northbound 101 at Main Street. Bus is broken down, and that's blocking some lanes. Also, Highway 68 at Highway 1, Monterey County. A crash with a couple of cars reported on the shoulder. Looks like CHP is on the scene, escorting them off the surface streets. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Norman Solomon here at the Secret Studio with me. Lines open if you want to join me at 888-5 Peter B. Hey, Norman, Clean Coal is not going to be the sponsor of CNN's coverage of the Democratic National Convention. ExxonMobil bigfooted him out of the way.
Oh, that's really reassuring. You know, I hear that carbon offsets are the rage, and so it's okay to pollute as long as you ante up a little bit of money.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what kind of greenwashing messages they run in between some of the speeches. They call for, windfall profits tax on the oil companies and, different discussions of offshore drilling and all of the above, what the Republicans offer as their very thoughtful plan.
Well, that's the difference between special interests and national interests. You know, quite often the pundits really wail into the Democrats that the party has to once and for all break with the special interests, by which the pundits usually mean working people, for instance, women, labor unions, environmentalists. We're told those are the special interests, whereas that label really doesn't get affixed to the ExxonMobils of the world very often by the pundits who often indirectly, at least, have their salaries paid by those companies.
Norman, Nancy Pelosi is the speaker. She is the chair of the convention. She's a super-duper delegate in your delegation here from California. And she's taken a lot of heat this week, much of it, in my view, well-deserved, as she toured California on a book tour. One guy who we spoke to earlier this week, a lawyer from Los Angeles, was ejected from the auditorium when he was unauthorized but just piped up with a question about impeachment. And I really have such conflicted feelings, because if Nancy Pelosi were true to her roots, I'd be a happier guy. But the sellouts that she has presided over are a growing list, and now she's cracking the door on offshore drilling. And I'm just curious how you think progressives should approach her, because I do think she's a liberal in her heart, but I do think that her focus on the aggregation of power has overtaken her inner self.
Well, I support unauthorized questions, because if we stick with the authorized ones, we usually don't get very much illumination. It's important where people are coming from, but even more important, where they're headed. And the question is, where is the speaker and the Democratic Party as a whole headed? And I really think that that is up for grabs. You know, in her heart of hearts, as you say, and her background representing San Francisco in the Congress, there are many progressive accomplishments to point to. But I did support impeachment. I certainly think that it should have been on the table from the outset, let the constitutional process move forward. That said, if we don't like the news, we need to make some new news. And that means organizing not only at the congressional district level, but the precinct level. And so if we want the Democratic Party establishment to move, we'd better move the base.
Is Scoop Nisker a delegate?
We can only wish.
That's a Bay Area joke. Yeah. Let's leave it there.
Well, somebody 20 years ago who made that point, I think.
Yeah, go out and make some news of your own. Yeah. Steve and Salinas, you're up. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, he's talking about Obama and his supporters, and I'm...
know, 2 or 3 months ago, I was really ready to vote for Obama. I was even willing to go to a swing state like New Mexico or Colorado, because I'm fairly fluent in Spanish, and help out with Latino votes there. But he's taken away my enthusiasm because of all his changes, and now it's a question of setting voting for Obama. I'm going to have to vote against McCain, and there's such a huge difference as far as the enthusiasm. And I notice that all my friends, we all feel the same way.
And, Steve, I hear the bruising in your voice. I share that pain. Norma?
I'm hearing that a lot from people who say that they may well vote for Obama as they had planned, but they'll do so less enthusiastically. And the danger, of course, is that a lot of those folks will stay home, or they would even vote for somebody else other than Obama, whoever that might be.
And they'd be willing to work, you know, to help them.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. And quickly to Patrick in Monterey. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, greetings.
Hi.
I had a question for both of you, Mr. Solomon and Peter. You made a reference in passing a few minutes ago, Peter, to 2012, and I wanted to ask both of you if you think that there's a significant percentage of the Democratic Party leadership that is either gearing up for or would be perfectly happy to lose to McCain to work towards 2012, and if that's their wish, I don't think they may get it, because if we get 4 years,
Patrick,
McCain,
we're tight for time.
None of us will be here.
Yeah, it's hard to read minds. I just don't want to say that we need to look at actions, and anybody who is undercutting this campaign from within the party is not helping us get where we need to go, which is Obama into the White House this election.
Well, we'll trap a few pumas while we're in Denver, see what we can do, save the skins. Norman, thank you very much for braving traffic to get here today. We'll talk to you again in Denver.
My pleasure. Thanks, Peter.
Norman Solomon on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Is there some reason the world all of a sudden decided to change? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. There's a popular theory circulating in Russia about how the war in Georgia really got started. Sergei Markov, who directs a Russian think tank, points the finger at Vice President Cheney, who he says is convinced that Barack Obama would be a weak president when it comes to American interests abroad. So the theory goes that he snookered the president of Georgia into taunting Russia, and Russia took the bait, bringing back the Cold War, which will convince a wavering electorate that they need a tough guy like John McCain in the White House. Markov admits it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but he doesn't care. In fact, he argues that Cheney deliberately timed the war to start on the first day of the Olympics, hoping to distract the world from all those synchronized drummers. Actually, if that was the object, the U.S. swim team has done a much better job. But whatever was behind it, you have to admit that things are moving very fast all of a sudden. Just yesterday, in another amazing coincidence, Poland finally agreed to accept a U.S. missile interceptor base in return for a commitment to come to each other's aid, quote, in case of trouble, according to the Polish Prime Minister. A top Russian general immediately warned Poland that it had just earned itself a place on the nuclear missile target list. So, for those of you just returning from your summer vacation, let me just clue you in here. While you were gone, Iraq became stable, Afghanistan became unstable, we lost interest in Iran, and the Cold War started up again with Russia invading one country and warning it might nuke another. Welcome back. Now this.
Attention RV owners, you might want to pull your vehicle over because I'm about to blow your mind. Ready? GEICO now insures all types of RVs like motorized, sport utility, towable RVs, motorhomes, trailers and pop-ups. And if there was an RV that levitated and ran on fish and chips, they'd probably insure that too. So see how much money you could save with GEICO. Oi, where you headed anyway? I hope it's a water park. I love those.
Now GEICO offers insurance on all the stuff that moves you, including RVs. Call 1-800-947-AUTO or visit GEICO.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic healthcare approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
So just a week ago, hostilities broke out in the nation of Georgia. I went into the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible archives, and I found one song about Georgia. The Charlie Daniels Band.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best there's ever been."
So if we move from Georgia in the United States to the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, now an independent nation, if the devil went down to Georgia in the past week, was his name Vladimir Putin, or was his name Saakashvili? It's hard for Americans to figure out because our media is distracted by the Olympics and, in general, does a terrible job on international reporting anyway, and our corporate media doesn't want to spend the money to properly cover a story at this distance and, in my view, of this magnitude. We turn to Nikolai Sakov, a senior researcher at the Monterey Institute, and he graduated from Moscow State University back in 1981. And during the 80s, he worked at the Ministry for Foreign Affairs, first of the Soviet Union and of Russia as that evolved. And he participated in the START 1 and START 2 negotiations, as well as in a number of summit and ministerial meetings. He got his Ph.D. from the University of Michigan. Hey, that's great. He spent time in Ann Arbor. That's where my stepson is currently in graduate school. And he has a distinguished history. Nikolai Sakov, thank you for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hello.
Nice to talk with you, sir. And
My pleasure. I
wanted to start out just with your sense of the current status. I saw early this morning on CNN a news conference with Secretary of State Rice and President Saakashvili of Georgia. And I have to say that it is confusing, and I'm probably a little better informed than some Americans, but I claim no deep expertise on the issues of Russia, South Ossetia, and Georgia, and how the U.S. fits into all this. But as I heard the Secretary and the President speaking, I heard a substantial disconnect that Mr. Saakashvili seems to believe that the United States will back Georgia to the hilt, including a military confrontation with Russia. And I believe that Secretary Rice and even President Bush, and most notably our Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, who is identified as a Soviet/Russian expert on our side of the oceans, that they've made it pretty clear that while we're offering moral support to Georgia and we've flown in a couple of plane loads of humanitarian aid, we're not really prepared to get into a war with Russia over Georgia. Is that a fair assessment in your view?
Well, that's a very
fair assessment, and that's a very correct assessment. I can only say, in addition to that, that the United States government has been very, very clear that it will not interfere in any war between Russia and Georgia for years. The most recent case was last month when Secretary Rice was in Georgia. It was made very clear to President Saakashvili that the United States does support Georgia politically, but she also told him in very clear, like unambiguous terms, that Georgia should not provoke Russia. Yes, and in the case of an open war between the two countries, the United States will not help by military power.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually makes the decision of President Saakashvili last week, last Friday, to use force in South Ossetia, that small breakaway region in the north of Georgia on the border with Russia,
mm-hmm.
The decision to use force and storm the capital of that region are quite actually surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's quite impossible to even suspect that Russia would not have interfered. So that Russia sent troops in response was quite obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it had to be expected, and the logic of his decision is very...
Mm-hmm. Now, while I do understand. I do understand that Russia has done more than protect these territories of Abkhazia and South Ossetia, and I do not sanction their excessive response, the encircling at least of the city of Gori, and other steps taken by the Russians. We've got to step back here and ask, who started this thing? And it's pretty clear that Georgia was the initiator of this particular conflict, and yet the United States spins this, that Georgia is the victim, and that, we're saying that we're going to reevaluate our relationship with Russia over this.
Well, quite honestly, I don't think that the United States will enter a major crisis with Russia. The only variable here that might cause a serious long-term disruption is actually the effect of the elections, which sort of make emotions much more important than actual policy. But generally, I don't think a major crisis is in order. Things like that did happen before, and it'll likely evaporate, or at least will come down in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we talk about the Russian military campaign, well, that's a very good and very interesting question. You see, the Russian military has modified their strategy and their doctrine in the post-Soviet years. And they're now operating under their own version of a Powell doctrine. So they actually looked at how the United States conducted the wars in the 90s and this decade, and they decided, well, that's a very nice way to do things. Well, it's probably a very good way to do things. It's very effective.
Mm-hmm.
So they adapted the U.S. strategy. And in particular, that means that once the political decision to go to war is made, politicians should not interfere on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
No political meddling.
Mm-hmm.
And the second principle is you go for a victory. You don't send signals, you just go for a victory.
Right.
That's why the emphasis from literally like the first hours of the military campaign was on destroying the Georgian military infrastructure.
Right.
It was a strike to the full depth. And actually now, the places where the Russian troops are outside the territory of Georgia is actually a major military bases. It's not cities.
Mm-hmm.
It's major bases. They were able to capture large stockpiles of weapons and heavy equipment. And what they're doing right now, well, and that's the main reason for the delay with the withdrawal of troops, they just methodically eliminate weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure that in the future Georgia does not restore its military power quickly. So the political impact of these actions, we all see.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it makes military sense, and right now the military really sort of not really calls the shots, but at least it's quite influential.
Now, Nikolai Sokov, you mentioned the Powell Doctrine, and I believe there's a third leg to that, which is overwhelming force, you know, identify what your mission is, and have an exit strategy. What do you presume to be Russia's exit strategy from Georgia? They want to topple the Saakashvili government, don't they?
No, I don't think so.
Well,
at any time, absolutely.
Yeah?
No. There was one case where Secretary Rice disclosed the contents of a private discussions with Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov. Incidentally, that's not done in diplomacy. You don't disclose such conversations. But anyway, but he actually later explained, and I think quite logically, that it's the decision for the Georgians to make, but that the Russians don't want to talk to Saakashvili anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think that's the case. And I think there is also a fundamental difference in perceptions of the United States and Russia on the nature of Georgia. The United States does view Georgia after the Rose Revolution, like 5 years ago. The United States views Georgia as a democracy, as a country that moves toward democracy.
Mm-hmm.
It's also nice that it's friendly to the West.
Well, and they sent some troops into Iraq, which Bush is very grateful for.
Yeah, yeah. But let's just talk about the nature of the regime. The problem is that the Russians do not see it as a democracy. In fact, when Putin looks at Saakashvili, he's probably looking at himself just 5 years younger. Well, that's probably the main reason why he hates him so much.
Well, that's one of the things that's really very visible here, is that these two guys who, you know, don't appeal to me in any way, really hate each other and are willing to commit military forces to battle out their own personal grudges.
Yes. What I suggest is that the Russians simply do not view Georgia as a democracy. They see Georgia evolving in the same direction as Russia did 5-7 years ago. They see that the last independent TV channel was closed down, was approximately in the same way that the Russians closed down independent TV channels 5-6 years ago, and so on and so forth. So for them, it's not about democracy in Georgia. That was a big problem for them 3-5 years ago, but no longer. Well, it's just about that state out there that's not friendly. Well, and they got problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
The paradox is that actually Russia gained from the status quo. It was in its interest to continue that standoff between separatists and mm-hmm. Tbilisi for as long as possible, to leave these separatists as a thorn like in the side of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I just don't really see any logical reason. Well, it's not that the Russian policy is nice. Well, it's just the shooting war was just not in its interest. That's all. Yes, and the exit strategy, they will leave. They will definitely leave.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely the full-scale withdrawal of troops from outside South Ossetia will begin very, very soon, because as soon as they finish blowing up all the tanks they were able to capture.
And that's not quite consistent with this ceasefire agreement that Georgia finally signed off with.
There's no shooting, actually.
Well,
there's no shooting.
That's true, because the Georgian forces appear to have dissipated in the face of the Russian onslaught.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the agreement Saakashvili only signed when Secretary Rice came to Tbilisi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that was... like about 10 hours ago, 12 hours ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it all was very, very slow. Well, and all delays quite obviously benefited the Russians. They tried to get as much as possible out of every delay.
Mm-hmm. Nikolai, I need to take a break, so please stand by. We'll continue in a moment with Nikolai Sokov. He is from the Monterey Institute for International Studies. And if you have a question or comment about the conflict in Georgia and the U.S. role, give us a call now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we're getting you started with a big problem on the Pacheco Pass. This is eastbound 152 near the reservoir. Big rig caught fire several hours ago and sparked a brush fire. All of the eastbound lanes are closed up there, and traffic squeezing by in the center divide. CHP saying those lanes may not reopen until 6 o'clock. Huge delays. Avoid eastbound 152 this evening if you can. For San Ardo, an injury crash. Cattleman Road at 101 vehicle overturned and landed in a field. We have emergency crews on the way. Salinas, northbound 101 at Main Street. Bus is broken down, and that's blocking some lanes. Also, Highway 68 at Highway 1, Monterey County. A crash with a couple of cars reported on the shoulder. Looks like CHP is on the scene, escorting them off the surface streets. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains. Priceless. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll try to provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your co-host, along with Mark Leonard. We try to look at current issues from a unique angle and invite our listeners to call in and bring their own different perspective on contemporary affairs. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
We bring you more of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the crisis in the Caucasus. Nikolai Sokov is with us from the Monterey Institute of International Studies. And, Nikolai, for me, it's a bit rich because I'm a sharp critic of the Bush administration's unilateral adventure in Iraq and the ensuing occupation. And, again, in this news conference Friday morning from Tbilisi, Secretary Rice echoed comments that she made in Washington and that President Bush has offered as well. Sharply critical of the Russians, saying that this is not 1968 like Czechoslovakia, and you cannot invade and occupy a sovereign nation. And Jon Stewart on Thursday night's Daily Show served it up very beautifully, and if people want to catch that clip, they should. But he said, have they forgotten about Iraq? And it does strike me that Putin is well within his rights to ignore all of this blather coming from Washington and even delivered locally when we try to preach to him about invading and occupying a sovereign nation.
Well, I would say that a more pertinent case here is actually Kosovo. Because in Kosovo, back in 1999, the United States and NATO interfered on the side of a separatist regime. Well, of course, Serbia was not, to put it mildly, nice to Kosovars, but nevertheless, there was an international intervention.
True.
And there was the use of force without authorization of the UN Security Council, which actually made the war in Kosovo illegal. And the Russians said then, that's a precedent. Last February, the United States and about 50 other countries recognized Kosovo as an independent state. And the Russians again said, well, that's a precedent, and we might do the same if we decide to.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, as far as Putin is concerned, they are just doing the same thing as the United States does. They're using the precedent. And, the rest they simply classify as politics, sort of, and so on.
Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to ask you what you think the role of missile defense is. In this same window of time here, the U.S. has firmed up an agreement with Poland relative to missile defense. And first of all, you know, I think that this is a boondoggle. The systems don't work. But it's clearly provoking Russia, and Putin seems to take this quite personally, that the U.S. wants to build these missile defense systems in the Czech Republic and Poland, at least the radars for them. And, you know, we've said that, oh, it's to protect Europe from Iran. But I think this is pretty clearly a way to try to fence in the Soviet Union, at least psychologically. I just said Soviet Russia.
Russia.
at least psychologically, if you know what I mean.
You're on the same sheet of paper. No. The Russians simply do not see a missile program in Iran that would justify this kind of response. So they start looking for other explanations, and of course the explanation that pops in their minds is of course Russia. But now, here's like an important really thing. We're so preoccupied with the current debate and public statements. The actual concern of Russia is not about the system that the United States plans to deploy now. It's a very, very small system. There's one radar in the Czech Republic and 10 interceptors in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and 10 interceptors can do nothing, actually, like against Russian strategic forces. What really concerns the Russian military is the fact that there are no limits. And they're concerned that 10 years from now, the United States will deploy like 100 interceptors there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the current system. It's the open-ended a policy.
Understood. I want a caller to join us now. This is Richard from Santa Cruz. Welcome, Richard. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Nikolai Sokov.
Hey, Peter and Nicholas. This is a very interesting subject. I find it suspicious that John McCain's chief foreign policy advisor lobbied McCain on 49 different occasions and was paid over $1 million by the Georgian government. And also, I heard earlier today on the Tom Hartman Show that when Karl Rove was missing 3 weeks ago, when he was supposed to be in front of Congress, he was with the Georgia president in Yalta.
That's correct. Yeah.
And it seems that these troops were massed on the Georgian border, ready to go for quite some time. And it seems with our satellite sophistication, we would have known it. And I think this is the October surprise 2 months early. I really do, I think.
All right, let's get a comment from Nikolai. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I wouldn't like to comment too much about the election campaign. I try to stay impartial.
Okay.
I would, however, note that President Saakashvili and his team have been lobbying the United States very, very heavily for many years, and Saakashvili actually got education here in the United States, and he worked for a few years here
right.
as a lawyer, which probably tells you something.
Okay.
And, they have not spared any effort. Well, and the main avenue, like in Tbilisi, Tracy, the one that leads from the airport to downtown, is now called George W. Bush Avenue.
Right.
Yes, and John McCain did actually get the highest medal in Georgia and so on and so forth. So they have not spared the effort, and they try to be friendly with everyone and to project a very, very nice image and friendly and everything.
Right.
Well, and yes, they did send 2,000 soldiers to Iraq, which, after a few countries started to withdraw troops, made them the third sort of largest contingent.
Right. Yeah, it's a phony coalition, though. it doesn't make an impression on me. Nikolai, just a minute remaining and a final question for you. The South Ossetian militia appears to be independent from the Russian forces doing vandalism and some sorts of ethnic cleansing as they have penetrated into Georgian territory as well.
Well, there's no firm reports about that, but I suspect that, unfortunately, this might be right. The Russian military say that they try to stop these things. Well, and when they say they try to stop them, it means at least these things take place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just the aftermath of the war. That's very, very bad, and certainly I'd like to see that stopped, but I'm afraid it's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And after Skinvali, the capital of Georgia, has been basically razed, they just now taking their revenge.
All right.
The Caucasus people there are very emotional. Very emotional.
Nikolai, I want to thank you for your expertise, and I appreciate you joining
My
us
pleasure.
Today. Nice to talk with you. Nikolai Sokov from the Monterey Institute for International Studies on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Bonjour, this is Villanie Drastin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A U.S. official says Russia is expected to sign the Georgia ceasefire agreement tomorrow and has given assurances it will be implemented faithfully. But with Russian forces within 30 miles of his capital, Georgian President Mikhail Saakashvili is skeptical.
They are on the roll. They are euphoric. They are arrogant. They will not stop.
There's no let-up in the Bush administration's public and private pressure. CBS News correspondent Mark Nola reports from Crawford, Texas.
Instead of sending troops, President Bush is hoping tough rhetoric will get Russia to pull its forces out of Georgia.
To begin to repair the damage to its relations with the United States, Europe, and other nations, and to begin restoring its place in the world, Russia must act to end this crisis.
In his radio address for Saturday morning, Mr. Bush again declared American solidarity with Georgia. It's the seventh time in a week that he has issued a public denunciation of Russia's actions. Mark Noller, CBS News, Crawford, Texas.
Before he left the White House today, Mr. Bush accused the Russians of bullying and intimidation. Tomorrow morning, after Secretary of State Rice returns from Tbilisi and briefs him, the president plans to make another statement at his ranch. The Dow rose 43 points today on the news that crude oil prices fell once more, settling below $114 a barrel in New York. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus is following the trends.
Oil continues its retreat, and we continue to see stocks gain as oil pulls back, both at the gas pump and for crude oil. We've got gas now at $3.77 a gallon nationwide. It is the 29th straight day that prices have come down at the gas pump.
And with other commodities like corn and wheat falling, she says we're likely to see lower prices at the supermarket. More trouble with the law for Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. Today, Judge Ronald Giles ruled there's enough evidence to try Kilpatrick on assault charges.
He'll be bound over to the Wayne County Circuit Court for further proceedings.
The mayor is already under indictment for perjury. In connection with that case, two investigators were trying to deliver a subpoena to one of Kilpatrick's friends when Kilpatrick allegedly shoved one of them into the other and made racial remarks. One investigator, who, like the mayor, is black, says he told her she shouldn't be part of something like that. Starting tomorrow, some airline passengers won't have to take out their laptop computers at security. A new policy allows for checkpoint-friendly laptop cases. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato explains.
To keep from removing your laptop at airport security, these tips from the Transportation Security Administration. Make sure the X-ray machine can see through the case. Put your laptop in a separate unzippered section that is unobstructed or unfolds and has no pockets. TSA predicts most current laptop bags won't work, although sleeve designs probably will. Expect to see new bags soon that will meet the guidelines.
They'll cost about $25. This is CBS News.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 505 to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, 505, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 505. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
The Food and Drug Administration says we have no reason to worry about a chemical commonly used in plastic baby bottles and many other products.
It's called bisphenol A, or BPA, and it's used in everything from baby bottles to canned foods to CDs. It's a chemical that hardens plastic and, according to critics, could hurt consumers because it can leach out and get into their bodies. One study indicates 93% of Americans have BPA in their urine. But Food and Drug Administration scientists say those are trace amounts and not a threat to human babies or adults. Environmental groups say the FDA relied on studies funded by the chemical industry, so that conclusion is suspect. Several states are considering possible bans on BPA. Sam Litzinger, CBS News, Washington.
Bobby Guffey forgot his glasses when he went to buy a lottery ticket. It was the best mistake he ever made. Instead of the combination he usually plays, the Roanoke, Indiana man picked new numbers and won a $3 million jackpot. His wife told him it pays to be blind. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, we're Shadaisy. Now, being on tour is great, but after 23 days, we can't wait to get home
and to our own Sleep Number beds. The tougher your days, the more you deserve a Sleep Number night. It's the only bed that lets you adjust your Sleep Number setting at the touch of a button. A higher Sleep Number setting for more firmness, a lower number for softer support. And since every day is different, you can always find your perfect sleep number anytime. Because the most comfortable sleep is the one you control yourself. Experience the difference a Sleep Number bed makes every night. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com to find any one of our 450 stores. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Enjoy cool summer savings on all Sleep Number beds. Twin mattresses start at only $449. Hurry in. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com today for a store near you.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where we favor progressive politics and electric guitars. Take it away, Neil Young. Keep us rocking.
Red, white, and blue. People
Every week at this time, we set aside the final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show to talk about elections, because they're fundamental to what we claim as a democracy in this nation, and they haven't been working so well in recent years. Brad Friedman is on the case as usual, proprietor, citizen journalist, and he likes that phrase, chief cook and bottle washer, too, at bradblog.com. Hello, Brad.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. It's always good to talk with you.
And you?
And
I look forward to seeing you. We'll be seeing you in person, right, in a couple of weeks in Denver?
That's right. You're going to be in Denver on our team there, and I'm looking forward to that. And we will be at Radio Row at the Democratic National Convention Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I'm really looking forward to it because I've described this to people. It's like speed dating. We never know exactly who will come down Radio Row next. We grab them, put them behind a microphone, and ask some questions.
Actually, that is fun. It does remind me of when we were in Crawford, Texas, and Desi would just, finding content was not a problem in Crawford, Texas. Throw a stick, and you'd hit someone who had a tremendous story about how they got there, and so, finding out live on the air, that is a lot of fun. So I envy you, because that sounds like fun. On the other hand, I don't know what the hell I'll be doing there, but I look forward to finding out, I suppose.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yep.
And I do want to tip my hat to the people who've been generously supporting our costs to go to the Democratic National Convention. It's an extra expense for us, and people have been sending checks using PayPal on my website, and I really appreciate it. You can help. Go to peterbcollins.com, and the link is right there at the top. It says you can help. And people have also, a lot of folks who don't have web access, have just been mailing in checks, and you're welcome to do that. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. Got a raft of fresh ones today and mentioned them earlier. I thank you very much. And we will be acknowledging our underwriters during our live coverage from Denver. And, Brad, as always, we will be asking the tough questions. And I know a lot of these elected officials will come down Radio Row expecting softballs, and we're going to keep lists of those who voted against the FISA, for the FISA amendments and against our constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
And as they expect a, hey, how you doing? I'm going to say, when do I get my Fourth Amendment back?
Attaboy.
So
hold their feet to the fire. That's what you got to do. And for that reason, frankly, I wish I was going to the Republican convention. I think that's going to be a lot more fun, if you ask me. But
mm-hmm.
I can't get out there. Are you going out to the Republican convention?
No. Tom Hartman is the stalwart who will be there representing the progressive side. And we had the opportunity, but I just feel there isn't any real news there. And
short-sighted, Peter B.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to... I think that's going to be a lot of fun, although I suspect there's going to be more news than any of us want at either of them, although I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll wait and see, and we'll certainly cover the Republicans to the extent we can from our base here in California. Also, they're starting on Labor Day, and that offends me, as I'm a labor supporter. That's my day off.
Are they actually starting on that Monday?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think Dick Cheney's going to give a speech on Labor Day. Isn't that exciting?
Oh, I'm sure viewership will be very high that day. No wonder they're putting them there. Unbelievable.
Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And at the top of the blog here on Friday, Brad is appearing in Beverly Hills tonight. And I want to alert our listener in Los Angeles. Hey, go to Beverly Hills. Brad's going to introduce a film.
Hey, I'm already on the phone. You don't have to. Oh, I see.
So I have not seen this one, Stealing America Vote by Vote.
Stealing America Vote by Vote, yeah. It's actually playing all over the country for a week-long engagement, which is pretty good. So she's going to be reaching a lot of new audiences with this. Peter Coyote is narrating.
Mm.
I appear, if only briefly, but, so you have no excuse to not go see it now. And if you check Brad's blog, they do have an ad up there for the where it is playing. It's playing all around the country and all around California, actually, this week. And StealingAmericaTheMovie.org is their website with previews and schedules and everything else. And we got to get out there and support election integrity documentaries like this, because this is the kind of stuff that used to be told by the mainstream corporate media. But as they failed, citizens, folks like Dorothy Fadiman, who, by the way, is an Oscar-nominated documentarian,
hmm.
Folks like her, citizens, have had to step up and get the story out any way possible. And here's another opportunity to reach people. So hopefully people will get out there, find it, support this film.
Yeah. And there's another great documentary about voting issues called Uncounted, The New Math of American Elections. David Earnhardt is the producer, director, filmmaker there. And he's been on with us before. And you also have some signed copies of the DVD for people who want to contribute to bradblog.com. And David has agreed to sit in for you next Friday because you'll be wending your way to Colorado and take the day off there. But David will be joining us. And we're also going to invite Ellen Tyson, because we understand there's a big report coming out from her group.
Indeed, on just how it is that these private electronic voting machine vendors have really taken over and in the process undermined democracy. And there's the report will have some great stories of some of the election officials, regrettably not enough, but some of the election officials around the country who have fought back and who have taken on these voting machine companies. So I haven't seen the entire report in full yet. I've seen some of the summary material, and it should be good. Ellen Tyson is great, and she's great on this topic. So hopefully listeners will tune in next Friday and get the skinny on that. And, of course, we'll be running a piece on it, I believe, Monday or Tuesday at Bradblog once the report from votersunite.org is officially released.
All right. That's something to look forward to in the next week. And, Brad, before we dive into another item here, I just wanted to mention that you have coverage at Bradblog on Speaker Nancy Pelosi's appearance this past Monday in Los Angeles. And we covered this on our program. Jason Leopold was there, rolled some video, and caught the interaction between the unauthorized question put forward by Peter Totem, who also appeared on our program Tuesday, if you'd like to grab the podcast at peterbcollins.com. And I think it's a very interesting situation here, because here's Pelosi, and it just frustrates me, because at a time when she really needs to be mending fences and explaining her recent actions to progressives, she's out on a book tour doing these kind of carefully orchestrated Q&As with a moderator, and, you know, except when she's autographing books, doesn't have much interaction with actual citizens and voters. And Peter Totem challenged that, spent a night in jail as a result. And in looking at the post on a Bradblog, I understand that Alan Breslauer had a brush with the authorities, too.
Yeah, he did indeed, and he filed that report with Jason Leopold, actually. He, as you know, is our fearless Bradblog video contributor. He's the one who somehow managed to get Karl Rove to hold up a free Don Siegelman banner some months ago. Yeah, he asked, he tried anyway to ask a question of Madam Speaker if she was going to bring the contempt of Congress charges to the against Karl Rove to the floor for a full House vote, and he was quickly whisked away by the Secret Service for having the temerity to ask such a question. That said, I'm delighted that she is out there on her book tour, because Lord knows the media would not be asking the questions that these folks like Peter and Alan and another citizen last week, I think we talked about it on last week's show, who showed up at a book signing and found out, recorded her admitting that she has not even read the articles of impeachment filed against George W. Bush by Dennis Kucinich. So we're getting more information, frankly, from
the leaks.
What's that?
Kind of the leaks. It's not her intended message.
No, it's not. But you can't avoid it. Now, I'll tell you, even her, you know, she certainly wouldn't have appeared on ABC's The View had it not been that she, you know, didn't have a book to promote. And thankfully, they asked her, they didn't press her, but they did ask her about impeachment there and got her once again to put her foot in her mouth and say that she's unaware of any crimes committed by George W. Bush. And if she knew of any, she'd it would be a different story, and she would be interested in impeachment. So that led to the citizen bringing out that, giving her a copy of those articles of impeachment, her admission that she hasn't read them, and then the outburst from Peter Totem last week, or actually that was this week, here in California. So I'm glad she's out there. I'm glad the citizens are holding her feet to the fire. I hope folks within earshot of this do the same. If they see that the speaker is coming to them, she needs to be held accountable. And I was delighted that Cindy Sheehan has been added to the ballot, as she told us last week on this show. Boy, oh boy, would I love to see Pelosi at this point unseated, given the horrible job that she and Harry Reid have done.
We're talking with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We'll take on the Fox Network coming up next. And your phone calls are welcome, too, at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart, Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA and no relief in sight for the Pacheco Pass this evening. Eastbound 152 near the reservoir. Big rig sparked a brush fire out there. That was at 142 this afternoon. The eastbound lanes apparently still shut down with traffic squeezing by in the center divide. We've had reports that traffic may be backed up at least 15 miles out there, and they're saying they may not open things up until 9 o'clock tonight. Definitely avoid the Pacheco Pass if you can this evening. Now for Santa Cruz Mountain, southbound 17 before Bear Creek Road. New reports of an accident with four cars. It looks like that's off to the shoulder. Salinas, northbound 101 at Main Street. We have a broken down bus in the lanes. Also Hollister, 25 at 156. A spilled load of produce and boxes all over the roadway. CHP on the way to get some of that cleared out of the way. This is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
We'll be right back.
rolls on like a rolling stone gathering no moss. And no hanging chads either.
What are you planning to do? I don't like music.
That's Big Audio Dynamite. It's called E equals MC squared, and I have no idea what it's about. I just like the groove. Brad Friedman, at the top of the blog today, you've got some items about Fox News and hate mongers. Who would know better?
Yeah, right. Well, O'Reilly certainly knows about it. He's been reporting now, as you know, for months on these vicious far-left smear sites by the name of Huffington Post and Daily Kos. And all of the bloggers over there and these sites that put out this horrible hate speech. Well, he was on again last night, or night before last, actually, with Amanda Carpenter of townhall.com, his quote-unquote internet cop. And she joins him each week, and they talk about this nonsense, and they make it look as if Huffington Post and Daily Kos themselves are putting out what is seemingly, you know, some pretty disgusting stuff, but that appears to be posted by commenters, not by the actual, you know, sanctioned bloggers and writers at Huffington Post. But he never makes that distinction, of course. Further, after, you know, telling us there are these blog postings, and he quotes a few of them quite selectively, that, by the way, we have no idea because they're from anonymous posters. It could be Amanda Carpenter from Town Hall. It could be Bill O'Reilly himself posting these things in order to make non-right-wingers look bad.
Well, I would just blame Michelle Malkin the way she blames liberals for everything else.
Hey, it could be Michelle Malkin running around doing this on these not right-wing blogs like Huffington Post and Daily Kos.
Yeah.
That said, a reader actually alerted me some time ago to some comments left at townhall.com on Hugh Hewitt's blog, radio host Hugh Hewitt's blog, over at townhall.com, which include death threats against, quote, traitorous liberals and even Barack Obama. The poster and a few other folks concurred with this commenter. Wrote things like, you don't allow cancer to grow, you cut it out before it kills you, pray to God they are defeated by the ballot, which will make the bullet unnecessary. There are some things worth fighting for, dying for, and yes, killing for. It is better for one man to die than for a whole nation to perish. So some pretty offensive stuff. That has been up there since early July, posted at townhall.com. And hearing O'Reilly and what's her name, Amanda Carpenter, from townhall.com, indignantly talking about how, you know, the I think O'Reilly at some point says, well, there are some kooks on the right, but by and large, it's the folks on the left who are putting out the hate speech. And to show that, by the way, in his report, he had a video that was taken down apparently from a satirical video from Focus on the Family, where the guy, the reporter, was praying for rain in Denver when Obama makes his big speech at Mile High Stadium, and they took that down for some reason.
But not Rush Limbaugh's call for riots in Denver.
That's correct. That has not been removed. And O'Reilly uses that videotape by way of comparison. See, the folks on the right, they pray for rain during Obama. The folks on the left want people to die. Well, the folks on the right, even his own internet cop apparently wants people to die, if you attribute everything on the website to the folks who run it. So I'm sure he'll be picking that up in the next segment. Just before I went on the air here, I noted that they have now removed some, if not all, of those offending comments.
But, well, I guess they're reading Brad blog.
Apparently they must be.
Let's check in with Tom Pinto in Eureka. Tom's calling today. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Pretty good, Peter. How you doing?
Not bad. We got a couple of minutes here, and I wanted to get an update because you emailed me about the Humboldt County Election Transparency Project with some encouraging progress.
Yes, we have made some progress with the project. This year, we were on for the June 3rd election. It was the first time that we have scanned the ballots in Humboldt County with a basically an off-the-shelf high-end office scanner.
Mm-hmm.
And we've made these images, these photos, available to the public on both the internet and on DVDs in the registrar, the recorder's office of Carolyn Cernich.
Right. Uh-huh.
This is the first time in Humboldt County that we've ever done anything like this. We've provided these images also to other people who are interested in election integrity issues, such as Dr. David Dill of Stanford and
mm-hmm.
Dr. Joseph Lorenzo of Berkeley and Bev Harris of Black Box Voting.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten a lot of encouraging feedback so far.
All right, Tom, I've got to run to a break here. I want you to hold, please, and we'll come back after the break, because I want you to tell us about the blessing of Secretary of State Deborah Bowen on these expanded audits planned for Humboldt County. We'll continue in just a moment. Brad Friedman with us from bradblog.com. That's Tom Pinto in Eureka. And in the next segment, we'll be joined by Stephen Rosenfeld. He writes at Alternet about election issues and has a new book out called Count My Vote, A Guide to Voting. That's all ahead, plus your phone calls, 888-5-PETER-B, The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LaCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment, 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LaCluse. Give me a call, 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and recently an online trivia game informed me that the longest-running continuous rock band in history is not the Rolling Stones. It's this funky band from Holland called Golden Earring. Remember? I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
I knew he was going to say that.
There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. It's my baby calling, and I need you here. And it's a 4:30, and I'm shifting gear. When she is lonely.
We continue with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. Stephen Rosenfeld from Alternet's going to join us in just a couple, but we want to continue with Tom Pinto from up in Eureka, who's been telling us about the Humboldt County Election Transparency Project. And for the June primary, they scanned all of the ballots, and those ballots are available on public websites, right, Tom?
Yes, that's currently we have an unofficial set of ballot images available on the website humdreamhosters.com/ETP for Election Transparency Project.
Okay, I'm getting this hum.drumhosters.
Dream Hosters.
Oh, Dream, sorry, I can't read my own writing. .com/HTP.
Elephant Tom Paul.
ETP.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to say that again. humdreamhosters.com/ETP.
Correct.
All right. And if somebody goes there and examines a ballot, I mean, I've been fascinated by Richard Hayes Phillips' book, Witness to a Crime, which includes photos of many of the tampered ballots from Ohio in 2004. But what interest do people have in looking at ballots that haven't been tampered with?
Well, right now you can look at them through your browser, or you can download all of the images to your own computer. Let me warn people up front, that's quite a bit of data. That's something like 8.2 gigabytes of data. It would probably take most people all night.
Ouch. Yeah, and if you're on dial-up, don't attempt it.
For people in Humboldt County, I suggest heading over to the elections office and getting a DVD.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But looking at other people's ballots, explain why that's of interest.
Well, what we're trying to do is provide an independent auditing mechanism whereby anybody can go and look at a ballot and count them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Our attempt is to use open source software all the way through to scan these ballots.
Mm-hmm.
So far we haven't accomplished that, but that is our intent. This last time we scanned them, we had to use Windows software.
Okay. Brad, what do you think of this?
It's a great idea. It's something that, if we have to use optical scanners, anything that can improve transparency is obviously makes sense. And I know that you all had tried to do that. I believe it was in 06 originally. Maybe it was 07 now. But where are the scans actually where and when are the scans actually taking place in this deal, Tom?
Okay. We're doing them before the election is certified. We're doing them at the elections department.
But it's after they have already been moved, correct? Correct.
That is correct.
In fact, those machines that you guys use, I understand those op-scan machines that y'all use up there in Humboldt, they already scan these ballots, do they not? And if so, could we not use images from those scans instead?
I don't know. The idea here is to do this independently of those closed systems that we have, that we are not able to examine their program. The idea here is to provide to anybody who can read open source to take a look at our code and say, hey, this is what this group is doing. They're providing an independent means of providing these images, these ballots.
So it's an auditing check. So you have a second set, and you can compare A with B.
And, yes, we have. And let me tell you a little bit about some of the pluses of what we discovered. One of the things in this most recently is that when we opened up the boxes that contained the actual paper ballots, one of the things we discovered was that we came across, I believe it was 9 ballots that hadn't even been put through the Diebold machine for counting.
Uh-huh.
What had happened was poll workers didn't follow instructions. What happened was that people would come in with their absentee ballots into the polling place, and the poll workers didn't understand what they were supposed to do. And what happened was, instead of going into the machine to be counted, some of these ballots got pushed aside and got sealed up in the boxes and were never counted.
Mm-hmm.
So there were, I believe there was, we came across 7 absentee ballots that were counted that would not have been counted otherwise.
Okay.
And there was 2 provisionals that were also pushed aside, but those didn't count.
Okay, Tom, I need to cut this short because I have a famous author standing by here that I promised to put on the air. But just tell us briefly about Secretary of State Deborah Bowen's position on what's going on in Humboldt.
Well, she was very, I would say, enthusiastic. Our meeting was scheduled to be about 30 minutes. It ran maybe about an hour. I believe it was an hour 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we really got down into the nuts and bolts of the elections code to see, can we do this? Or should she be telling us no? And there was, basically she gave us the green light. She said, I don't see anything here that, why I can tell you no.
Mm-hmm.
And she realizes that elected official registrars of voters are under great pressure to be doing, hand counts. And unless they find an independent auditing tool,
mm-hmm,
like we're trying to develop in Humboldt County, there's going to be a lot of pressure on these elected officials to, and let's face it, they really don't have the money to do, hand counts, or at least a lot of people would, argue that point.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Tom, I appreciate the update, and I'm glad that we're seeing some progress in Humboldt County. I appreciate your activism along with all the others who've been working on this so diligently.
And if I could, let me jump in, Tom, because I know you got to get to Steve here real quick. I just wanted to also echo Peter's thanks to you, Tom. Thanks for doing that, and I hope you guys will look at, and other folks will look at, what I spoke with the L.A. County Registrar about a couple weeks ago, which is a pilot program to begin developing data for hand counting Do it in, three, five precincts, whatever, this November, not as the official numbers, but just to begin developing data for if that is possible and if it is affordable and so forth after all, because I'm not quite so sure it's as unaffordable, as you mentioned, as some of the election officials might like folks to think.
Right. All right, Tom, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Very good. That's Tom Pinto in Eureka. Joining me now is Stephen Rosenfeld. He writes regularly at alternet.org, and his newest book is Count My Vote, A Citizen's Guide to Voting. Stephen, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, and say hi to Brad Friedman.
Well, hi to both of you guys. That was nice singing along with Radar Love there.
Oh.
Hey, Steve.
Hey.
It's good to talk with you, and let's mention, too, that Steve has radio in his blood. He's the former executive producer of Radio Nation with Laura Flanders.
Yeah, and I was a reporter for NPR and Monitor Radio, even when I can remember.
You're also in cahoots with Fetrakis and Wasserman, our buddies from Columbus, Ohio, and you helped co-author their book that documented the heisted election of 2004.
Yeah, actually, there were several versions of that book.
And let me further sing Stephen's praises by adding that he has managed to bring democracy to Alternet, quite literally. He's now manning a democracy blog. Is it called Democracy Blog over there?
Yeah, it's a special coverage page.
Special coverage page, and so they've been able to dedicate a lot more time and a lot more space to all of these issues of election integrity. So, Steve, I just wanted to thank you for heading that up over there.
Well, and I'm looking at the Alternet right now, and the button is up there right with human rights, water, health, drugs, sex, relationships, and democracy. I think that's good. It is quite fundamental, right up there with sex and drugs.
San Francisco values.
Yeah. So, Steve, give our listeners a quick look, the elevator pitch on Count My Vote, A Citizen's Guide to Voting.
Well, here it is in 30 seconds. The primaries that we just went through were more than a dress rehearsal. They were literally high turnout elections. They almost were as high turnout as general elections in presidential years past. So they revealed a lot of potential problems that could interfere with the high turnout in the fall, and second, with the way that the votes are counted. So what I did was I put together a book that said, okay, let's look at the track record, and let's look at what are some of the solutions, at least from a voter's perspective. And a lot of them have to do, in the first instance, with really getting your voter registration right and making sure that that information is correct.
And we should all repeat, I shall not be suppressed.
Right.
Because voter suppression, vote caging, the scrubbing of the rolls of ex-felons and people who weren't ex-felons, it is remarkable, Stephen, the array of techniques that have been used to reduce participation in participatory democracy.
It's true. And the thing is this, barring massive electronic vote count fraud, which is a possibility, but the voters can't really control that. The one thing they can control and pretty much take care of all those other voter suppression problems is making sure that they're properly registered, knowing that they have the right credentials when they go to vote and being a little bit assertive if they're challenged, as well as being somewhat patient. Because there are going to be lines, there are going to be delays, there probably will be challenges, and nobody can predict who will be the random victim, although we know that certain groups will be targeted. And I can get into that if you want.
All right. Brad, go ahead.
They are going to be targeted. What did you look through all 50 states or however many had primaries and caucuses to determine how many of those states have now privatized those registration rolls, because I know seems to have caused trouble.
The landscape is different in 2008 than 2004, and the newest technologies that are prone to fail on a larger scale have to do with the statewide voter list. It's, the problems that people had 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago with touch screens, because they were new and introduced then, are somewhat akin to the problems that are accompanying states that are now turning over, using these statewide computer databases. And some states have been doing this for years, and they have it together, and there aren't going to be problems. But other states are using it for the first time in this election. And what it means is that people's names will be randomly omitted. And it's And some of the technology that's used for that is just not up to par. So, for example, in Georgia, everybody was afraid that the new voter ID law was going to disenfranchise people. What turned out was that the state and the counties did not buy enough laptops with these new electronic poll books in them to check people in on time. So that's where the bottleneck developed in the primaries, and a lot of people left. So you literally had empty voting machines while people were lined up and couldn't get in. Now, in New Mexico, which is, they had the biggest problem that I was during the primary of a bad voter roll that was produced by a firm that had outsourced it. The state outsourced it to ES&S, which is a private company.
Chuck Hagel.
And what happened there was that literally the woman who was in charge of the Democratic Party's caucus told me that one entire county of names was missing, and then names were randomly missing from other places. Now, you take that on top of a state party that doesn't really know how to run a big turnout caucus and had it at weird hours during the day, and you had and on top of a lot of Republicans who said, I think I'm going to try to vote in the Democratic caucus, and you just had this colossal mess where there were something like 18,000 provisional ballots, and those are the ballots that don't get counted right away. But that's more than three times the margin that Bush beat Kerry by in that state, almost 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So, Stephen, we need to take a break. Brad, stand by, too. We're talking with Stephen Rosenfeld. His new book, available for under $10, is Count My Vote, A Citizen's Guide to Voting. It's from Alternet Books, and you can read Stephen's columns, at alternet.org. More with Stephen and Brad Friedman from bradblog.com coming up. And your calls are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Checking traffic on KRXA and no relief in sight for the Pacheco Pass this evening. Eastbound 152 near the reservoir. Big rig sparked a brush fire out there. That was at 142 this afternoon. The eastbound lanes apparently still shut down with traffic squeezing by in the center divide. We've had reports that traffic may be backed up at least 15 miles out there, and they're saying they may not open things up until 9 o'clock tonight. Definitely avoid the Pacheco Pass if you can this evening. Now for Santa Cruz Mountain, southbound 17 before Bear Creek Road. New reports of an accident with four cars. It looks like that's off to the shoulder. Salinas northbound 101 at Main Street. We have a broken down bus in the lanes. Also Hollister 25 at 156. A spilled load of produce and boxes all over the roadway. CHP on the way to get some of that cleared out of the way. This is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet?
Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build communities, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
It is useless to resist us.
We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show, our election protection hour with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com and special guest Stephen Rosenfeld, the author of the new book, Count My Vote, A Citizen's Guide to Voting. And I mentioned that it's under $10. If you want to pay for shipping, it rolls in at a fat $13.95. And you can order it online right here at alternet.org. It's real easy. Full information about the book there. And during the break, I got an email from Brad that said, play this. And I will, Brad, but set it up for us.
This is Paul Weyrich in 1980, one of the conservative founding fathers at a convention in Dallas where Ronald Reagan and Jerry Falwell were speaking. He still consults right-wingers on a weekly basis today, as I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And this pretty much underscores the GOP's tactics as far as trying to keep people from voting that we're going to see this November big time, I'm afraid.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote.
Ooh.
Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Wow. Thank you, Brad. That's pretty powerful admission coming from Paul Weyrich.
Yeah, I think it's pretty amazing, and I think that that is, by and large, the tactic that is now in play from the Republicans, at least those who don't want people to vote. That is what they've been working on.
Stephen, take that sentiment and just in bullet points, tick off for us some of the ways that that trickles down into, the Justice Department, the Voting Rights Act and its non-enforcement, and many other ways that the Republicans have gamed our election process with Paul Weyrich's mantra in mind.
Well, it's really very simple. What he's talking about is that it's the whole notion of that you shape the electorate to benefit your candidate. So you have, political campaigns have become like marketing. You identify different constituencies or groups with, identifiable concerns, and you actively work to either encourage some and to discourage others to vote. Now, what's different this year in 2008 is that we had primaries in 50 states where, at least on the Democratic side, generally the turnout was 2-1, Democrats compared to Republicans. And you also had campaign organizations in 50 states where, whether it was Obama or Hillary, going all the way through, you just never had that kind of infrastructure and that kind of public engagement, literally, in more than a generation of presidential campaigns. But what's happening now is that in the last couple of years, there states with Republican-controlled legislatures have passed different kinds of laws, such as stricter voter ID laws or laws on how groups can go and do voter registration. And what they've done is they've complicated the process for people to vote. And they piled the work on poll workers who will be befuddled with, is this kind of ID okay or is that kind of ID okay? So where we're at today is that the Obama campaign is going to launch a major national voter registration drive right after the Democratic convention. It's going to be the biggest one since the 60s. They hope to bring in millions of new voters. Now, the thing about it is this. That's going to create an incredible paperwork blizzard for voter registration officials all over the country. And if people haven't voted in the last couple of years because they thought, oh, gosh, why should I vote? Just Bush again, or for whatever reason. And if they want to vote this fall, they've got to make sure that their voter registration information is current, or they may be stopped at the polls. And the easiest way to do that is to get on the phone now to a local election official when they still have a little breathing room and just ask them to look up your info and is it okay?
So,
And Stephen, aren't there some websites that allow people to access the records online?
Well, there are. And but actually, the best thing to do is to literally talk to the election officials themselves, because the difference between websites and election officials is election officials are legally responsible for getting it right. And there's one website. It's the Overseas Vote Foundation, and they have overseasvotefoundation.org. They have a directory there of every single county election official in the country, their names, their emails, their office hours, their phone numbers. All you got to do is pick up the phone.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And let me add, votersunite.org has a great list of phone numbers and who you need to contact to find out if you're still on those registration rolls. Steve, are you getting the impression from the Obama campaign that they understand the real dangers that we're facing this November? Because I'm not.
And a 30-second answer. Go ahead, Steve.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I would say they are understanding it more than they did 4 years ago, and a lot of people inside and outside the campaign in public interest groups are also working really hard to make sure that people can vote.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Stephen Rosenfeld, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I want people to go to alternet.org, and right on the homepage, look at Alternet Books. There's a link, and find Count My Vote. You can order it right there and get it shipped to your home. There are a lot of other issues addressed here about how to preserve your right to vote and exercise it. Brad Friedman, enjoy your trip to Colorado, and I'll see you there in Denver for the convention.
We'll see you in Denver. Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much, both of you. And thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab a podcast, share it with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
And thanks to Nick Tanham for a great first week on the job. It's all uphill from here.
Keep smiling until then.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush is at his Texas ranch, but he wants the world to see he's on top of the situation in Georgia. It's the subject of his Saturday radio address released early by the White House.
People of Georgia have cast their lot with the free world, and we will not cast them aside.
He called the Russian invasion completely unacceptable. Today, Georgian President Saakashvili agreed to a ceasefire, and a U.S. official says the Russians are expected to sign it tomorrow, but they're pointedly refusing to rule out similar action in the future. CBS News reporter Beth Noble is in Moscow.
The Russian president says he's ready to invade another country if necessary to protect the Russians living there, the way Russian troops invaded neighbor Georgia last week. Dmitry Medvedev says that if someone attacks Russian citizens or peacekeepers, that Russia will respond in just the same way it has in Georgia, adding, quote, "There should be no doubt about this." Some of Russia's neighbors are already nervous about Russia's ambitions, and Medvedev's comments are likely to give new fuel to their fears. Beth Noble, CBS News, Moscow.
In a little more than an hour, Michael Phelps goes back in the water, hoping to equal Mark Spitz's record of 7 gold medals at a single Olympics. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is there.
We really haven't seen Michael Phelps challenged here in Beijing. This 100-meter butterfly could be different. His most serious challenger may be Milorad Čavić from Serbia. Čavić has been improving all year. He has the best time in the world in 2008, and Čavić even had a better time than Phelps in the semifinals.
sports.
We have a new tropical storm, Fay, got organized today in the eastern Caribbean. Bill Reed is director of the National Hurricane Center.
We have tropical storm force winds both to the southeast and across to the north of the island of Hispaniola.
A tropical storm warning is in effect for the north coasts of Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Reed expects Fay to cross Cuba and head into the Gulf of Mexico, bringing tropical storm force winds to the west coast of Florida by early next week. Forecasters say the Pacific Northwest will get no relief from the heat till Sunday. Triple-digit temperatures have been common. Heather Bosch of station KIRO has the story in Seattle.
Okay, it's just not what we're used to.
It's kind of hard to beat the heat right now.
I can't stand it. I can't wait till winter.
But people are finding ways to stay cool, from buying fans to downing popsicles.
Otter Pops at home, and I eat like seven of those a day, maybe.
And you can always jump in the lake if you get too hot.
Which is